Now, I don't know what it's like at your house when you do any baking, but at our house, when we bake a cake, it's not always obvious to those people passing through the kitchen that there will be a good outcome. My children actually are quite good bakers, but at the mixing stage, it doesn't appear that way. We usually have flour up the walls. There's normally a squabble over who's going to crack the eggs, which ends quite badly. And later on, I'm often reminded that we have indeed baked a chocolate cake because there's a trail of cocoa powder going up the stairs. And that's not to mention the state of the children who look like they've eaten more mixture than they've put in the baking tray. But when we bake a cake at our house, we know there's going to be a lot of mess before we get to a fabulous end result. Most people looking at the kitchen when we're baking would see a situation which looked irretrievable. Not many would believe that a great-tasting cake could come out of such a mess. But I'm their mum, and I know that these kids bake good cakes. I can see past this apparent mess and devastation of the kitchen and know that good will come from it. In our gospel reading today, we also see evidence of someone being able to see past an apparent mess and devastating situation. I'm just going to read that little bit again. So here we have Jesus being crucified, and we have one criminal hanging there, hurling insults at Jesus. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said. "Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This reading here takes us straight into the heart of the crucifixion. We've had Palm Sunday with Jesus riding triumphantly on a donkey, being hailed the King of the Jews. And then we've seen Jesus at the Last Supper, breaking bread and sharing wine with his friends, washing their feet. Then that same evening, we see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then we see him being arrested, we see his trial, we see him being beaten. We see him being nailed to the cross. And then finally, where we pick the story up, we see Jesus hanging, dying on the cross with two criminals either side of him. Criminals who have actually committed the crimes for which they're being punished. Both criminals are robbers, both are guilty, both face the same fate. Yet what different reactions they have when they find themselves face to face with the Son of God. The first criminal mocks Jesus. But the criminal on the other side has this completely different reaction. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The first criminal does not believe the claim that Jesus is the King of the Jews, the Messiah, because now he's been put to death. To him, it looks as though the game is over. But the second criminal, though, is able to see beyond this terrible situation. He sees beyond what apparently is a hopeless situation with Jesus dying on the cross. And even though he can see that he's near death, he still puts his faith into him. And where are Jesus' disciples and his other followers? Well, Luke's gospel here is quite quiet about them, but in other gospel accounts, we hear that very few remain with Jesus at the cross. It's fair to say, I think, that most of them had legged it into hiding. They had trusted God up to this point. They'd believed that he was the Messiah, the King of the Jews. This Messiah that had been prophesied about in the Old Testament. They believed in him. But with this terrible situation that they now find themselves in, they just can't understand it. This just wasn't their plan. Their plan was for Jesus to lead the Israelites in overpowering the Romans. Their plan was for an earthly kingdom. But this plan hadn't just gone pear-shaped. It had taken a drastic turn for the worst. So much so that the disciples didn't even want to be associated with Jesus, for fear of being the next ones in line for execution. The disciples cannot see the light and hope that is Jesus through this situation of despair. But this most unlikely character can. The criminal hanging to one side of Jesus sees the hope in him and he trusts him. To be fair to the disciples, even as far as Jesus is concerned, even for him knowing the bigger picture, things still don't look great. Because although Jesus was divine, we're told he's also fully human. And I would imagine that concentrating on the pain of such an excruciating death would detract for him at that moment from the bigger picture. And then back in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus spending time with his Father before being arrested and sentenced to death. And we hear him praying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." I often think of this as the Plan B prayer. And I have to confess, I prayed the Plan B prayer a few times myself. "God, if there's any other way that we can do this, any at all, then please can we go to Plan B?" But then Jesus follows the line with, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And that is a very brave prayer to pray. It takes guts to pray a prayer like that. "This is what I really want, God. Yet I'm willing to follow your will instead of my own, whatever the cost." Is that a prayer that we're brave enough to pray? "Not your will, but yours be done." Jesus trusts God and is obedient to his will. He knows that the darkness has to be conquered and that this is the only way for the light to break through. And as we look at the passage, we see glimpses of that light, glimpses of hope within the darkness of despair. One such glimpse is that prayer at the beginning of the reading where Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Is that a prayer that we are humble enough to pray? "Father, forgive them." Are we willing to ask God's forgiveness for those who've hurt us or our loved ones, those who've caused us pain for their own gain? Do we really want to see those people forgiven by God, forgiven by us? Here we have such a wonderful example of Jesus. He did. And in doing so, he brings us a glimpse on that cross of his marvellous light. Jesus is taunted by the first criminal to save himself and them, which of course he could have done if he'd have wanted to, but Jesus does not give up. He doesn't give in to the temptation of the easy option. He trusts God the Father. He knows he is in the Father's will, and he stays the course. And in doing so, he enables the light to triumph over the darkness. Are we willing to do what God asks of us, even when it seems like the hardest option available? Are we willing to trust God, even though it feels a bit like we're wading through treacle and not getting anywhere fast? Are we willing to accept that God knows best, even when it appears that he's lost the plot? Are we willing to offer our lives to be used by God as he sees fit, even though however hard we try, we cannot understand the situation that we find ourselves in? Are we willing to do these things so that the light can break through into the darkness? And the first criminal just doesn't get Jesus, does he? And perhaps at the point of crucifixion, not many people did, because all the expectations that they got on him as the Jewish Messiah had been dashed. We now have the wonderful benefit of hindsight, but I wonder how we would have felt if we'd have been one of Jesus' early followers. Would we have seen that this was all part of the bigger picture? Or would we too have gone into hiding? Jesus gave lots of teaching when he was on earth about the kingdom, but would we, like those disciples, have been blinkered by what we expected the kingdom to be? An earthly kingdom, about what we should expect the Messiah to look like. And on that cross, all those expectations, hopes, and dreams are shattered. We don't know the background of the second criminal. We don't know whether he's ever come across Jesus before. But I would think he would have certainly heard about him. What we do know is, though, that for him, the Jesus penny drops. There as they hang side by side, his eyes are unveiled and he sees Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God. He sees beyond that immediate dire situation that they're both in and he trusts Jesus. And what a wonderful assurance he's rewarded with for his faith. "Today you will be with me in paradise." A promise that we can all claim for ourselves, that one day we too will be with Jesus in his kingdom. Now, I've got to admit, when I first looked at this passage, it seemed a bit of an odd passage to have in the run-up to Advent, because I'm starting to feel a bit Christmassy now, and there I am turning my thoughts to Easter and Good Friday. But is it really so strange? You see, Christmas is the point where Jesus enters earth, the point at which God becomes fully human and comes down to earth to dwell among us. He comes not in glory, but to the dirt, the darkness, the grimness of our world. He comes for love's sake. And here we have him on the cross, going to the lowest, darkest place on our behalf so that the light can break through. The good news for us is that the story doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop where today's passage stops, with this dying Jesus on the cross. Jesus does die, yes, he was buried, but then 3 days later he's raised from the dead. He appeared to people on earth and then he ascended into heaven. But the story doesn't stop there either, because then at Pentecost he sends his Spirit, poured out on those first disciples, but poured out on us too. The world will not be as God intends until Jesus comes again. Only then all will be well. But until then, we're called to cling on to Jesus, even when life throws us what appears to be the most terrible of circumstances. We're called to cling on to him and to bring his light into those dark places. We're called to trust Jesus with our lives. The disciples were so overwhelmed by the darkness of the cross and the seeming defeat that they fled. They didn't trust in Jesus when that darkness seemed unbearable. They were just too frightened. But what about us? What about us today? Do we trust Jesus, even when the hope seems to have gone? We're all aware of situations that just seem hopeless. Perhaps things in our personal life, things for people we know, things that are going on in the world. And you think, Jesus, where are you? The darkness seems overwhelming. Are we willing to trust Jesus even in those situations? Are we prepared not only to pray for Jesus' light to break through into the darkness, but also to say, Jesus, I don't understand what's happening right now. I don't understand why this is happening, but I'm still going to pray your will be done. In a moment, I'm going to finish with a prayer, and then we're going to have a time of quiet, a chance for each of us to wrestle with God about the dark, hopeless situations that we know. Things that God might be bringing to our hearts. And then after a short period of silence, Tom's going to play a song. And while it's playing, I invite you, if you want to, and when you're ready, to come and light a candle. We've got some candles over in this little side chapel. And we're going to light this candle as a symbol. Firstly, asking Jesus to shine his light into that situation that we've been telling him about. And secondly, to say, Jesus, I trust you. I'm going to cling on to you and I'm going to pray your will be done in this situation, even though I don't understand it. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you did choose to come to earth for us, that you died for us, and that you're now reigning in glory. Jesus, you know each of us and you love each of us. You know too that life can be hard. And Lord Jesus, help us now as we consider different situations. Help us as we struggle and wrestle with these things that we don't understand. Help us to be able to get to a point with them where we can say, yes, this situation is horrible, but still I trust you and still I pray your will be done. Give us the strength to trust you, Lord, and to cling on to you no matter what. Amen. Let's just spend a few minutes in quiet, bringing to mind those dark situations that are on our heart.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're gonna be out of all the earth for joy. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I won't fear no evil.